Episode 278, Don't Judge, Lest You Be Judged.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Well, again, everybody, and welcome to the David Triggs Show, the Trigg Podcast of Joy, where we are going gozo. Wow, the weather's got you down again. The brakes in your car, that doesn't even seem to work anymore, bro. You're looking at your wallet at that waistline. My gozo bell's right there wondering, man, what is going on? Don't worry, my dear gozo friend. Let's spend the next few minutes talking about grace, talking about joy, talking about God, talking about gozo today in the Trigg Podcast of Joy. I want to talk to you about stop judging others lest you be judged. No one likes to be judged, right? You know, I don't. I mean, I think that's just common human, right? I mean, all of us as human beings, we don't like to be judged on our appearance or what we do, our actions, who we marry, who we date, what we eat. I mean, none of us like to be judged, and yet people love to judge others. And let me break it to you. You love to judge other people as well. The problem when we judge, though, is that we don't realize that there is a, I mean, I'm not going to call it karma, okay? But I'm going to call it, there is a law of attraction, I guess some people would call it. The Bible simply calls it, you will reap what you sow. In other words, if you are constantly putting judgment into the world, you will be judged even more harshly than expected. That is just what the Bible teaches. Now, why do people judge? I think that there's a personality type that loves to judge more than others. I think that people that are very law-driven, rules-oriented, they are the ones that tend to judge the most. And even though that can be a gift in certain areas, the problem is that when you judge others, it ruins people, it deflates others, and guess what? Others will do the same because sin always grows. And so what God wants us to do instead is to forgive. And forgiveness is never hard. I mean, it's never easy. And it's definitely harder when you feel like judging somebody else. I mean, when Jesus was on the cross, he could have been angry, judging everyone, cursing the world, and yet on the cross, being beaten, crucified, and killed unjustly, he forgave his enemies. And so don't tell me that you only judge others when they do something wrong to you. That's the point. That's when your judgment attitude will come out, is when others don't deserve your mercy. When others want to get away with murder, per se, when you have already been extending, quote unquote, that kindness to somebody for 5 years or even just for 5 days, and because you are finally fed up with it, you now move into judgment, anger, resentment, and all that is wrong with our country, with our churches, and with humanity. I speak from experience. I mean, this is a funny story, but it gets worse than this. But I remember being, I don't know, 16, something like that. And I was running on this field, and back in those days, to have white socks. I mean, okay, we're talking about socks was a cool thing. And so I saw this guy, maybe twice my age, wearing black socks. Maybe they were even dress socks, okay? Okay, so he had no fashion sense, but it wasn't him, it was me. I ran behind him for, I don't know, 20 minutes just to judge him the whole way. That he had these dumb socks and I had the cool Michael Jordan socks. Isn't judgment like the ugliest of things ever? Do you ever feel good a month after your judgment? Oh, let me tell you, judgment in the moment feels beautiful. Oh man, you feel vindicated. You feel like you gave them a piece of your mind. You protected your family. You protected your company. You protected yourself. You told them. judgment and judging others, it is like sugar. It's like Starbucks. It's like that your favorite ice cream or whatever. It is amazing in the short term. And people that judge are addicted to short-term rewards. But you don't even know it. You don't even realize it because, again, everything in your mind, body, and soul, and this is very biological. You know, I'm a wannabe psychologist. This is very, as I call it, reptile. We as humans are built to kill and destroy other humans. I mean, just look again at our politics, at our country, at our world, at the stuff that you tend to like on Facebook. Everyone, anytime I post something even remotely negative, it gets 3,000-4,000 times the engagement than when I post something positive. You and I, we love people's dirty laundry. In the name of righteousness, in the name of God, in the name of you being gifted in this, or that's just your right. And I speak with passion on this because it is my own, has been my own sin. And I want to call it out in my life, and I want to call it out in your life. And I encourage you to not be thinking of how somebody else needs to hear this, but to actually let God speak to you personally. So now, I want to read out of 2 Samuel chapter 12, this story that it's just a slap on the face. It's not the one about, look at the speck in your own eye or the log in your eye. I mean, obviously that's in the New Testament. This is in the Old Testament. Basically, the story is this. David has, quote, 1,000 women available to him, right? And let's not get into the horribleness of that, but that's just the reality. Well, he sees Bathsheba, who is the only wife of her husband. And instead of him saying, I have everything I need, everything I want, he goes and sleeps with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, as we know her. And so, of course, David thinks he got away with it. He did his thing, sent Bathsheba away. And then when he realizes his horror, what he did, he has, as you know, Uriah killed in battle. He literally tells his commanders to put Uriah, who's a faithful man who loves David, who obviously loves his wife, he puts him on the front line and he gets killed. What horror, huh? Well, as violence usually is, it's blind. Violence is blind. David sees no problem in that. He's like, well, no one saw it. I'm good, right? So he's just blinded to what he did. So because God is God, God sends Samuel, the prophet, to speak to David about this problem. And so Samuel tells David, David, what would you do in this case? Let me tell you a story. Imagine a shepherd boy had 100 sheep, but his neighbor, or not a boy, maybe just a man, his neighbor had one sheep that he loved and cared for and was his business, right? But just one. You had 100. Imagine if that man went across the field and killed and stole that one sheep from his neighbor. What would you do, David? David said, man, that man should die. I would kill that man. No justice. I mean, no grace, all justice. And then Samuel told David, you are that man. And so let me read this to you. It says, verse 7, Nathan said to David, Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord. Here's the judgment. The God of Israel. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. And I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms and gave you the house of Israel. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord? to do what is evil in his sight. You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house. Because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. Wow. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did this in secret, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Wow. That's a no-go-so right there, right? I don't know what to say. I mean, if you are not convicted by that for your own life, not your kids, not your husband, not your friend, not your neighbor, not your mom, but you and I, then I don't know what is. Stop killing people around you on Facebook, in church, at work, you're a boss. Stop killing people. You're like, I'm not killing anybody. Well, what did Matthew 6 say? What did Jesus say? If you speak evil against your brother, you have already murdered him. And look at what God says. Look at his techniques here. He says, after all I've done for you. And here's the thing. All that God has done for you should lead you to repentance, should lead you to grace, should lead you to you forgiving others as you, as the Bible says, have been forgiven. Have you ever stolen from somebody else? Yes. Have you ever, or maybe have your kids ever screwed up and you wanted mercy from the judge or from the teacher or from the boss? So why are you then not extending the same kind of grace that you would like for your own kids or for you yourself? I've never been in jail, grace of God. But I have been to many hearings with people of my church or friends of mine, people that would call me to come pray for them, and it is a horrible thing. But when a judge shows mercy, which I've seen it a few times, I mean, it just changes you. And if that doesn't help you to let things go, especially small things, then there's something wrong. The second thing, look at the scale of this whole example. It says here that David had many women. Again, we're not judging the horribleness of that. Obviously, that wasn't God's desire. But the scale, right? He had millions, let's just say, dollars. And this man had $100. When we judge, we're blinded to the scale of things. We only see that $100 instead of seeing the millions that we have. We only see what somebody else owes us instead of realizing how much we have received. The scale, even the numbers themselves, they don't care. They don't matter to us. We don't care when we're blinded by anger and by judgment. And that's what anger and judgment does. It blinds you. It's like a drug. That's all you see. You are just locked in to hate. Or, okay, no, you call it being a numbers person. You call it being fair. You call it being even godly, right? In reality, it's judgment, and judgment belongs to the Lord. And that's the thing I want to tell you. There's a couple of things. The second thing or third thing is judgment belongs to the Lord. God judges sin. If you're really mad at that other person because of what they did to you or to your kids, guess what? God will take care of them. Let God take care of them and don't get in the way and don't sin. Did you notice also how it says that David sinned against God? Not just Uriah. When you and I step in the place of God and we judge others, you are actually offending God himself. Wow. Do you want to offend God? Would you ever go around saying that you are an offender of God because of your actions? That's what he did here. He offended God, it says here. You have despised me. He doesn't even use the word offend. He says, you despised me because God had given David so much. When you and I step in the place of judgment, we are despising God himself. We're despising his judgment. Let God be the judge. And then the last thing, I mean, look at what it says. God punished David. I mean, it says here, the sword will never depart from your house. It's exactly what happened. His son, his people, he himself was a man of war. His son was a man of peace. You remember David. I mean, after this, his life just went downhill. The mercy of God's mercy was still on him, but his reality was horrible. God will punish our judgment. He will punish our judgment. It doesn't matter how much you think you deserve to be right, to win. It doesn't matter how you think that this is what I need to do. Let God be your judge and jury. Stop putting yourself in the grace of God, in the place of God. Am I against the laws of the land? Am I against people signing and respecting contracts? Of course I'm not. Just think what would happen if I stopped paying my mortgage. You think someone's going to just show me grace? They're going to kick me out of my house. But why are we like the world? Shouldn't we be different than the world? And here it is. Have you been like the world for way too long? Is it time for you to change your tune? Is God perhaps judging your house, your life, your body, your family because of your judgment on someone in the past, because of your judgment on people? That's what it says right here. You and your house will suffer because of this. I wonder if many of us in our homes and the mess that we find ourselves in is not a judgment for our past sins. And yes, the grace of God is there, but you have to repent. And don't you think that Nathan even just going to David was the grace of God? I mean, God could have just gone, boom, sent David to battle and just have him killed. Instead, God sent Nathan to give David another chance, and he did. But are you listening to the Nathans in your life? To the pastors, to the leaders, to your friends, to your own conscience, your Holy Spirit in you? Are you listening to that, or are you ignoring the very voice of God? Are you replacing the voice of God with your own judgmental voice and your judgmental spirit? God is speaking to you. And the last thing I want to say is, let God take care of it. He will take care of it. You don't know when. You may never see the justice of God in your life. Let God take care of it. You know, this is, as I said, very real for me. This is not just, as we say in Spanish, some benga or whatever, some baya, just for you and not for me. Let me tell you a very, very difficult story that I know many people know about. A year and a half ago, our two daughters and their three friends were basically railroaded or T-bone or whatever you call it by some idiot. I don't care, people like write me notes like, don't say that word. When someone near kills your daughters and their three friends coming home from church, I will call that person an idiot because that person just ran a stop sign. And that lady had actually a baby and her mom in the car. That lady was such an idiot that she could have killed five people, including my two teens, her own, 1-year-old baby and her mom because of her stupidity. Of just running through basically a red light. It was a stop sign at 9 p.m. at night. I think of my daughters, and I have a right, you would say, right? To be angry, I say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, the justice belongs to you. We got hardly any money out of it. It wasn't even about that. Who cares about money or about a new car? We didn't get any of that stuff. We had to basically just let go of everything. We got a few $100 here and there. And every time I drive by that place, because I'm on my way to work every day, I say, Lord, forgive me and forgive them. And here's what I do. Let your justice fall on them in whatever way you want. And may you be merciful on them because they almost killed my two daughters. And by the grace of God, they're fine. So you don't think I want to judge people? like you do? Of course, we all feel like judging. It's a feeling. Judgment is not in your brain. It's in your feelings, in your emotions. Like we say in Spanish, your blood is boiling. That's when these verses matter. It's when your blood is boiling. What is your blood boiling about today or this week or this month? Maybe you're just free and you're like, man, angry trig. I'm not angry. This is just simply my black and white trig. Because this is real. This is something I'm dealing with. This is something that is personal. This is something that I myself am tired of doing. And I hope that you are too. Stop judging lest you be judged. Let God take care of the injustices in your life. Look at the scale. Is it worth your anger to ask someone else for the one sheep when you have 1,000 sheep in your barn? Is it worth a judgment that will come upon you and your household? Is it worth you actually despising the creator of this world? Are you willing to do that? Or are you at a place where you need to say, Lord, forgive me. Return to me the joy of my salvation. Help me to realize how you have forgiven me for worst. And help me to extend that same grace that you gave me to other people. My prayer for you and for me is that we would live in love. Live in grace. Let God handle all of the judgment, all of the consequences that you long for. Give them to Him. Thank you for listening. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.